Hello, and welcome to Talkin' Music. I'm Corey Stanton. A couple of weeks ago, I had the chance to sit down and speak with Durango-based band Stillhouse Junkies before they performed in Paonia. Stay tuned for the interview, but first, here's their title track off their new album, Hillbilly Poetry.
Simple man, he lived his life according to a simple plan. He made himself a living with his own two hands. He never worried about the things he didn't understand. Down at the roadhouse on a July night, met a little lady, it was love at first sight. He thought about her every night and every day, but he never could find a single word to say. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kind of getting her mind along, but he knew he had to tell her. She made him feel that she'd be gone just like his 30s and his sex appeal. Called up his buddy looking for advice. He had a college education and been married twice.
Said, don't you worry about a rhyme or no metaphor. Just talk about the things you know, cause there ain't nothing more.
So he said, baby, do you like quitting time at the copper mine? 2-for-1 special. See, words I never had a way with me. So I'm filling up my notebook with hillbilly poetry. But it was getting tough. He was running on what was never quite enough. When he started to repeat what he'd already said, he wished he had a little more than what was in his head. Wasn't getting the reaction he was hoping for. He figured in a second she'd be heading for the door. And she reached across the table, took him by the hand, said, you just
shut your mouth and listen to me, country man.
She told him, I'll struggle.
You're like the perfect fine at the five dime. Double wide.
I'm here with Stillhouse Junkies from Durango, Colorado. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourselves? And I know each of you play a couple or a few different instruments, so if you could kind of rattle that off.
Sure. I'm Cody Tinnen. I play upright bass and some clawhammer banjo from time to time.
My name's Fred Kozak. I play guitar and a little bit of mandolin.
And I'm Alyssa. I have laryngitis. And I play the fiddle.
I love your tagline, delicious, delirious roots, blues, funk, bluegrass, and swing. Can you describe what makes your music delicious?
Yeah, I think, I mean, for us, we're not, you know, a genre band, or we don't try to be a genre band. I think people will, you know, generally say, you know, bluegrass when they see certain instruments, when they see a fiddle, but we don't really think in terms of, oh, we're going to try to play bluegrass, or we just kind of play whatever we are interested in doing and in writing. And the delicious part, I guess, is just we try to, like, really get down deep into every song and groove and, like, learn it properly. So if we get into something that's a little unusual for us, we try not to make it a novelty and try to kind of learn it, you know, get it under our skin a little bit more than we might otherwise. And we move between a lot of different rhythmic feels and genres in our tunes. And it's hard to talk about delicious without trying to be, you know, self-aggrandizing, but that's maybe how I'd describe it.
Being an independent band, we definitely have to brand ourselves and come up with these things, you know, on our own. And luckily, Fred is really good at coming up with stuff like that. It was a Fred Kozak joint.
One of the genres that's described in what I've seen more recently of your music is West African.
Yeah, so that, I mean, I think Fred can attest to this more, but I think a lot of that refers to a lot of the, like, polyrhythmic kind of stuff that we'll do.
Yeah, like, as a writer, I've been just trying to explore some of the grooves that I've learned, you know, through listening to West African music. And that's not, you know, again, we're not like a West African band by any stretch. And I think the trouble with playing across a bunch of genres is people maybe watch one video and they're like, oh, we're going to go see this great swing band. And then you play like one swing song the whole night and they're like, wait, you know, but we have a lot of fun exploring these things and kind of finding, you know, our way through these different grooves. And that 6/8 West African kind of that groove is a lot of fun to play around with, and it kind of knocks us out of our usual, like, bluegrass is very like 4/4, like bunk 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 kind of polka rhythm, and it gets, you know, honestly a little bit old, especially for bass players who are just kind of like bump 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 for a half an hour.
The one and the five, man.
And, you know, it's fun to see what we can come up with on these grooves. And sometimes it takes a lot of time to digest them and figure them out. But that's part of, you know, I've listened to a lot of music over the years and taken hopefully some inspiration from all of it and try to bring that to what I write and what we play.
And that's the thing, too. I mean, we get billed as a bluegrass band a lot, and we definitely, you know, try to exploit that by doing things like the Telluride Bluegrass Contest and stuff like that. But, you know, people see our instrumentation, they're like, bluegrass. And, you know, which is fine, and we do fit in that box sometimes, but, you know, Alyssa she's been playing classical music her entire life. She has a little bit of a jazz background too. She studied a lot of, you know, Stefan Grappelli and stuff, and I know he's been a huge influence on her playing. And Fred is the same way. He comes from a pretty deep, you know, jazz guitar background. So I'm really the only one that was just stuck in bluegrass for a long time. So it's great for me to get to play with these guys too, for sure.
And this is Cody, who plays stand-up bass, talking about, since no one will see you.
I get to play a lot less notes than these two, so.
It's true.
I'm lucky.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
You play a lot of notes sometimes, too.
The first time I heard 416, I actually was like, this is rock.
And yeah, I mean, I'll just kind of, that tune, I came up with a groove, and there was a certain emotional energy around it, because that was the 416 fire in Durango that was kind of like, in the heat of that whole event. And then I'll just bring it to these guys and we'll see what we come up with.
So you have a new album, just came out, called Hillbilly Poetry. Talk to me about working together for the first time and recording together as a trio.
Fred is a very prolific songwriter, which is really cool because it's a relatively new thing for him musically. I know that he's been playing guitar for a long time, but songwriting is something that, kind of moving to Colorado, I think, coaxed out of him. And so we've been lucky to have front row seats to that, Alyssa and I have. And Fred and I both really like country music, but I kind of tend to stop around the 80s, you know? But Fred is a huge fan of the 90s country music, and I think that's kind of the inspiration for, like, Hillbilly and Two-Steppin' on My Heart as well.
That's something I've drawn some inspiration from, for sure. That's a genre I wanted to pay a little bit of tribute to in writing, and the title track, Hillbilly Poetry, is kind of an attempt at that 90s style, like Joe Diffie, Travis Tritt kind of
Alan Jackson,
like storytelling. You know, those songs are all story songs. They're all like about somebody and something happening to them and people, somebody reacting to something. And so that's the title track of the song, is about this kind of redneck guy who falls in love and doesn't really know how to, you know, approach this woman, and his friends giving him advice on, you know, just talk about the stuff you know and don't worry about trying to be poetic. And so he's, you know, comparing her to like quitting time at the copper mine, and, you know, you're a double wide with a new hot tub inside. You know, it's like, that's like the kind of poetry you come up with if you don't have anything to reference but your own life. So that was like an attempt at that kind of song, and that's where that tune came from. And that's that, like Cody said, that's an era that I draw a lot from, for better or for worse.
Well, and to me though, it's tongue in cheek a lot, because I think a lot of country music, I mean, at least it started out that way, it was kind of tongue in cheek. You know, like Roger Miller, for example, I think was real, like he was a comedic lyricist, you know. And not to say that like the songs that Fred has written are funny per se, but if you really pay attention to the lyrics, they are kind of tongue in cheek, you know. But then that's layered underneath, you know, these great instrumental lines that Fred and Alyssa come up with, and they do a lot of those melodic things where they're playing in unison, and it's really cool. So it's kind of, you know, multi-layered, and I think most people have no idea what that song's about.
Well, on the record, as well as when we perform it, we all sing parts, so it's like kind of got an opera, like a hillbilly opera kind of thing, where we all play like a different role in it. But I like the lyricism of those songs, because it tends to be really like wordy, like John Michael Montgomery, some of those songs are it's almost like hip hop, you know, it just flows. It's like, you know, it's quick and really wordy, and I think I'm probably tend to be wordier, as evidenced by me rambling on the radio right now.
Right now.
If you're just tuning in, I'm with Stillhouse Junkies of Durango, Colorado. We're talking about their new album, Hillbilly Poetry. I love Two Steppin' on My Heart Again, and I think part of the reason I enjoy it so much is because, you know, it's very cheerful in the music, and then the lyrics are not so great. <What's> for this relationship or whatever, you know, tell us about that.
That's a staple of bluegrass and country and western swing. It sounds really upbeat, and then you tune into the song and you're like, wow, this is like super dark. I was mountain biking with a friend, Phil's World, actually my friend Brad, who grew up in Paonia right here in town, and lives in Durango and has for a while, and we got mixed up somewhere along the way. He took a left, I took a right, and I ended up with some time on my hands waiting for Brad to complete whatever loop he was on, and I kind of came up with the hook of that song. And I think a lot of country songwriters would agree, like you kind of start with a line and then fill in around it, you know, and Two-Stepping on My Heart Again, it's like I kind of, you know, built this little dance story and tried to use some dancing lingo and stuff in the lyrics of it, and just had some fun with the wordplay, because that's a thing with western swing and country. There's a lot of double entendre, and I think pretty clever, sometimes not so clever, but a lot of the time pretty like well-crafted imagery. And so that was another tune I was just trying to draw off of that. And I love western swing, I love the old Bob Wills stuff, and you know, we love playing that stuff, and a lot of people really love dancing to it. So we've played a few gigs where there were some, you know, real two-steppers in the room, and they got out on the floor, and I was like, well, I can check that one off my bucket list. So, you know, I'm a New Englander. This whole, like, Western living thing is new to me, so.
Here's Two-Steppin' on My Heart Again.
It was Friday night and we hit the floor. There was something missing that was there before. Do-si-do was feeling slow, and you kept stepping on my toes. Made me feel just like a fool out there in all my fancy clothes. Well, I asked you, what was eating you? Was it something that I said or something I forgot to do? But you turned your back on me, I guess you had a better place to be. Let me feel it like the woods in Tennessee. Now it's one step forward, but it's two steps back. Guess we must have lost the rhythm, and our love went off the tracks. You got me turned around till I just can't win. You've been two-stepping on my heart again. Ha-ha.
heard too many country songs to wonder how the story ends. You did the lowest that you could and kept on heading for that floor. But I'd come around to pick you up. Someone else got there before. Now I'd love to tell you that I'm over you. And I'm staying here until that music's through. But that ain't the way it goes. It's just like everybody knows. There's no stepping when you can't come up to. Now it's one step forward, but it's two steps back. Guess we must have lost the rhythm when our love went off the tracks. You got me turned around till I just can't win. You've been two-stepping on my heart again. You got me turned around till I just can't win. You've been two-stepping on my heart again.
That was two-stepping on my heart again. Well, let's talk about 416. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we had the most devastating fire Colorado has ever seen.
Yeah, well, there were several this past summer. Yeah. I mean, 416 was like, I think, second to the Missionary Ridge Fire in Durango as far as like big fire events that they've had in town. And there were a bunch of, it was a really rough fire season all over the West.
Yeah, the 416 fire ended up burning, I think, 56,000 acres, like right under 60,000 acres. But the crazy thing is the personal connection that Fred had to the fire. He had just moved in to a new apartment that was on kind of the northern border. As the fire was coming down south, closer to town, Fred unknowingly moved directly into its path almost.
Yeah, on June 1st, I moved into a new place in Falls Creek, which was like kind of front row seat for the air show, helicopters and stuff. And was just kind of powerlessly watching this fire advance. And this has happened a few times as a songwriter where I've written songs where I just kind of sat down like, all right, I'm going to try to write a song about this. And that just felt like I needed to do something to process a little bit. And, you know, creating something can be a way to do that. And that was what came out of it. So trying to capture that feeling a little bit.
And we took that tune as well, and like Fred brought it to Alyssa and I. He finished it, I think. Would you write that in a day?
Yeah, that was a quick.
Yes. Quick. So he wrote it, you know, like later in the week and brought it to Alyssa and I on like a Friday, and we recorded it. We did kind of a quick and dirty recording with a friend of ours in Durango, and then we went out and shot a quick video and put it up on Bandcamp and let people kind of pay, they could choose their own price and pay for the track. And then we donated all that money to the Community Relief Fund, which was able to help a lot of people that were not able to work during the fire.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, a huge contribution.
It wasn't a ton of money, but
definitely when you know, you look at what you do and think, how can I, you know, make some kind of difference? Because we don't know how to fight fires, or, you know, you kind of feel like, well, I'm just going to sit here and wait for this thing to kind of get closer to town. And so it at least felt like we were able to be involved in some way.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are in situations like that looking for ways that they can help, and yeah, not everybody can fly a helicopter, so
it's true.
True.
If you're just tuning in, this is Talkin' Music. I'm with the Stillhouse Junkies of Durango. We're talking about their new album Hillbilly Poetry. Let's take a listen to 416.
In no place. place to go. Santa's gonna cross the river. It's gonna cross the river. Why? It's gonna cross the river. And there ain't nowhere to hide. Ain't nowhere. Ain't nowhere. There ain't nowhere to hide.
Are any of you from Durango or from Colorado?
Yeah, I am from Durango. I was born and raised. I moved away for a little while and then came back.
Very cool. Yeah. And what about you, Cody? It seemed like maybe you're also from Durango.
Well, I was born in northern Arizona. My family moved to Bayfield, which is 20 miles east of Durango, in 2001. And in 2008, I moved away. Also, I was gone for almost 10 years. I came back a couple years ago to Durango.
Nice. And so how did you all connect?
I met Cody like a few weeks after I moved to Durango at a campfire jam at a friend's place. And then I met Alyssa at a different jam in town. And we all kind of were in each other's orbit for a while before we, you know, did anything formally. I played in a band with Cody called The Badly Bent. That's sort of been a staple of Durango bluegrass for a long time, like 20 years, 25 years or something, and collaborated with Alyssa on some other stuff. And then we all kind of found our way together eventually. And this has been all of our main project for a while now. So,
well, you guys sound great.
Thank you.
The harmonies are beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And musically, the instruments, they just work so perfectly together. You've really honed in on your sound.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, the trio is a challenge in a lot of ways because everybody has to carry a little more of the responsibility, but it also lets you strip things down to their essentials and kind of focus on what makes the song tick. And when you don't have the luxury of someone playing rhythm when you're soloing, you know, the other two have to really kind of hold up their end, and it's pushed all of us to learn new things. And it's been a really fun format to do this trio thing for a while now. So
when did you know music was going to be a big part of your life?
You know, it always has been really. I come from a somewhat musical family. My dad was actually in a military band. He was in the Air Force Jazz Band, and my uncle he's always been a musician and an artist. And he started getting into bluegrass when I was, probably 11 or 12. And he's always been a great flat pick guitar player, but he started playing mandolin, and that kind of introduced me to bluegrass. And then, you know, Durango has a really thriving bluegrass scene. So I started playing in a band called the Out of Hand String Band when I was probably 16 or 17 with a crew of older dudes that were all in their like late 20s and 30s. And I was just like the young guy playing bass and driving everybody home after the bar gigs. But it's always been there. Alyssa, same for Alyssa, but we both kind of took a hiatus from music for a little while, and then moving back to Durango really brought that back out. So it's been really great to be able to do that now.
I grew up playing classical music on the violin, and I always knew I wanted to do music, but I didn't know in what capacity until I took a break from it. And when I moved back to Durango in 2014 was when I sort of found my niche and realized that was what I wanted to do. So about 5 years ago, I would say, was when the aha moment happened. Before that, I mean, I've always played music, but like Cody, I took a long break. I was working in Washington, D.C., and there was a good chunk of years there I didn't even touch my violin.
Wow. Well, you'd never know.
Thanks.
You're playing the 25th annual Durango Bluegrass Meltdown in April. How do you feel about that?
The Meltdown's really cool. I mean, I moved to Durango a little under 3 years ago, and I thought it was really awesome that they have this long-running bluegrass festival that draws some really good artists from around the country in. And I was in a band, as I mentioned, with Cody that first year, and actually, like, I moved to, you know, here in December, and the Meltdown's in April, and I got to play like a set, you know, in the Meltdown on one of the main stages with that band. So that was kind of a part of my introduction to the musical community. And I mean, these guys have been to a lot more Meltdowns than I have, but it's a pretty special event and something we're happy to be a part of that really supports local bands. If you're a local Durango bluegrass, you know, string band, like you can play it. You know, the Meltdown board makes sure to include local artists, and they carve out a lot of space in the schedule for that, which is pretty special because that's certainly not the norm with festivals like that.
So what else is going on this summer for you guys?
It's a good question. We have, you know, part of our plan where we are just as a band right now, you know, we're 100% independent. We do everything ourselves. And so we've kind of come up with a strategy of what we think would be most advantageous for us. And we came up with that just being Colorado. So we're trying to hit as much of the state as we can, and definitely focusing a little bit on the Front Range. So we have, you know, little shows kind of all around here and there for the rest of, you know, the spring and the summer. We have a couple little festivals we've gotten into in New Mexico. We're playing What Fest in Centennial, Wyoming. You know, it's tough as an independent band to put a schedule together, you know, and it can be kind of depressing when you see other bands that have, you know, representation that they'll announce like a full summer schedule in January, and that's hard to look at sometimes when you're in our position, because we're super hungry as a band and all we want to do is play and be on the road, and we're doing a good job of that, but it's, you know, it can be tough. But that being said, we do have a lot of great things in 2019 lined up. We're gonna do the Telluride Band Contest again, so keep an eye out for us. You know, the best way to keep up with us is to follow us on Facebook or on Instagram, and of course our website always has our tour dates, and you can find us at www.stillhousejunkies.com. We'll probably be coming to a dingy bar near you.
Well, very cool. Thank you for stopping by KVNF. It's been a lot of fun chatting with you all.
Thank you.
I'm super excited to see you guys tonight.
Thank you for having us.
You've been listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton.
We'll go out on Whiskey Prison, one of the tracks off Stillhouse Junkies' new album, Hillbilly Poetry. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
this road like a man asleep. I feel that darkness closing in. All the promises I try to keep in this lonely life of sin. The day that I was born, that preacher said the devil hit his eye on me. Looking back, I never had a chance. Was a drunkard's destiny. This whiskey prison's where I'm bound to stay till my bones are 6 feet down. All the wishing in this world won't bring me round. Lay around in this prison, I will drown.